following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Purolator oil filters were invented in the USA. So when you change your oil with Purolator, it's as American as baseball. Actually, it's more American than baseball.
You're out!
Baseball was developed from early English folk games. But how can you yell at the ump with phrases like pish-posh, poppycock, and fiddlesticks? Purolator oil filters were invented in America 90 years ago, and we've been trusted by professionals and do-it-yourselfers ever since. Purolator, keep it pure. Available at Advance Auto Parts, Pep Boys, Meijer, and other fine retailers.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. And we are ready to roll through a Monday with no press conference today. What's up with this weather? Good Lord.
That happens around the 1st of October.
It's not the 1st of October, is it?
No, it's really not.
Let's start it off here, though. Jimmy Langan 3-0 in his picks to the people. We just kind of slide those in there a little bit. It was nothing, we just said, hey, Jimmy says, these are a couple I liked, and the next week, these are a couple I like.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Now people are paying attention.
Yeah, well, you go six, you give them three parlays there in a row. Yeah, that's six in a row. But I'll tell you, I'm just knowing my history. The next time I give him three, go the other way.
Yeah. Utah State, Connecticut, and Miami of Ohio. Those were the three, right?
Yeah, Miami, Ohio, and Cincinnati were tied 0-0 with 5 minutes to go in the game, and they got 24 and a half points. You get plus 24. And then UConn got all kinds of points against Michigan and probably could have won the game, kind of got a bad break late. And then the Utah State USC game has really flipped the coin. Game that should have never been played, but I happened to be on the right side of it. They got beat by three.
Yeah.
But they could have got beat by 10 either. So yeah, it wasn't like the other two were pretty good bets.
Well, folks, get us your emails, your Facebooks, your tweets, your phone calls. Nebraska beats South Dakota State. It was pretty hairy in the first quarter, but after that, Nebraska rolls the Jackrabbits in a 59-20 victory. And you can give us your thoughts. All you have to do is email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, and you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. The Bruce Furniture Fan Line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. What did you think of the game, Jimmy?
Boy, I was really happy with the way the offense played. I thought the offense really looked good. Defensively, I thought that they really made, after they gave up, actually, they gave up three touchdowns. One got called back, on kind of a pick play thing that was kind of controversial. But they ended up... after those first three drives, they held them out of the end zone the rest of the game, which that really surprised me. That's after watching that first quarter, I thought, whoa, that we might win this thing, and I thought 58's about what we're going to need. The defense really played well, and now the offense was clicking, and the crowd was good. It was good atmosphere, sometimes what happens in athletics is sometimes you have a little controversy like Nebraska had, and that's what everybody gets behind, and it gets the whole team behind everybody, and hey, they might make a big move here. You and I said we thought they were always a top 20 team, though. Not a top 25 team. You and I have said all along that Nebraska was a top 20 team, not in the top 6 or 8.
Yeah. But
we had them there. Don't you think we both agreed on that all year long? We thought Nebraska was a top 20 team. We never had the guy from Michigan on going, hey, what are you doing? You don't have Michigan ranked. You don't have Michigan State ranked. You don't have Nebraska ranked,
And I got an interesting story on that one as well, okay, for you off air.
Off air. Good.
Yeah. I am at the point, though, where Zach Zenner shouldn't be running right up the middle for touchdowns in the first quarter for South Dakota State. And Bo Pelini, most of his press conference after the game, was focused on that. It avoided any kind of quarterback talk because the quarterbacks did well, both Ron Kellogg and Tommy Armstrong. They came in, they did well. The offense, again, Bo said that's the best we've played all year offensively. Well, again, everything with South Dakota State, I think you got to take it with a grain of salt. If it was a tight game, you'd say, well, South Dakota State's a really good football team. And if it's not a tight game, then you say, well, it's just an FCS school. It is South Dakota State, no matter how good they are. Offense looked good. Defense, and Coach Pelini says, we're not even lining up right. And that's where then you've got monster problems then, Jimmy. If you've been practicing in the spring, practicing in the fall, and you're four games in, and as he says, it doesn't matter how young we are. And to the point of that is, these kids all know how to play football, or they wouldn't be at Nebraska. So that is, it shouldn't matter how young they are. In high school, you needed to know where to line up. You needed to know what your gap fill, where you're filling, what your assignment is. And that is a problem right now for Nebraska. And Nate Shielhouse is a great quarterback at Illinois. They may not have a lot to go around him, but Nebraska's got to look good and get better. Again, we said after they lost to UCLA, they have got time to get better. They need to kind of speed that up a little bit.
In athletics, every once in a while, you'll have a player that is really extremely good. I mean, he is just athletic talent-wise. He is really, really good. But he cannot remember his plays. He's got some plays he can remember, but he cannot really remember his plays. And there's two things that you do on that. And they're not sit him on the bench. that's not one. One is you get another guy that really understands it and remembers his plays, and he's also got the ability to, guess what, remember somebody else's.
Well.
I would think that we could get lined up correctly because somebody that's playing opposite of him, if he's supposed to go, like, let's say, for instance, he's playing the right side, strong side, if they got a split end over there, when he moves over, that means that guy's got to go to the other side. So, I don't know what exactly the assignment is and what they're doing, but, and the other thing is if the kid's not that athletic, there's somebody else close by.
There isn't a team on, there isn't a kid on the team that's not athletic.
Exactly. So, exactly right, Doug.
But good things. Got to see some good things out of Tommy Armstrong and Ron Kellogg, and good for them.
And Taylor Martinez, we'll see if he'll be ready to go against Illinois. I think they want him to be ready to go against Illinois, not just keep waiting and keep waiting and then bring him in for the next big game. You want to get him in there. He's your senior. He's your quarterback. But now you might have a little more confidence in going to the backups earlier in the game if you need to. You know, you don't have to wait till you're up 40. You can, if you're up 24, should be comfortable enough.
Good point. I think that's a great point. Now, you know, I watched the game. I didn't come up with that, what you just said, but that's how I'm thinking. You know, so I do like what you just said about being able. And it, not only that, let's say your quarterback goes down in the middle of the second quarter, and maybe it's just something real quick. It's only going to take four or five plays. Somebody else can go in and run some plays that are a little more dangerous to run, you know what I mean? And you'll have a chance. And, hey, you know, we'll take a chance here instead of handing it off to the tailback.
Give us your thoughts. The Bruce Furniture fan line is 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Or you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Another thing, Jimmy, from Saturday's game that you have to pay attention to was the fan response, and everything seemed to go well there.
Yeah, no doubt about it, that there was a good, you know, and like I said, there's an overreaction, just like the people, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I mean, there's a certain amount of people that are not Bo fans. There are a certain amount of people that are not Bo fans, and for different reasons, you know, for a lot of different reasons. But as far as the team and getting behind Nebraska, you know, Nebraska football's had its ups and downs, but they've always filled that stadium. You know, the Kansas City Royals have had their ups and downs, and I've seen that place with 6,000 or 7,000 people. But you know, on Sunday they sold out. Did you know that?
Well,
39,000. They sold out.
They're right there, baby.
I mean,
they're not going to get there, but they hung in there.
Yeah. Well, Cleveland Indians had 16,000.
Here's
the Royals have 39,000.
You changed subject.
Sorry.
But I do want to say that the Royals hung in there, and what's going to come back to haunt them is the losses to the bad teams. They did good against the good teams and the great teams. The losses to the bad teams, the White Sox, the Marlins, go on down the line, the Twins, those are the ones that are going to keep them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, the White Sox, they played them 16 times, and they are 8-8.
Yeah.
And they have four games with them. Now, they played the Twins. They beat the Twins, I think, 15-4. So they beat them 19 out of 19 times. They beat them 15-4 and 8-8 on the White Sox. And you're exactly right. That's exactly what's keeping them out. Hey, I didn't mean to change venues. I was just saying that Nebraska fans always are there and they're always supporting the team. And they, you know, and that's not true with all, you know, athletics. Some people just show up when we're winning. You know, Bob Devaney used to say, "Hey, all of the fans are behind me. Win or tie."
Did you happen, and Mike Babcock's going to join us from Hale Varsity, plus Diane Rose is going to join us at the end of the show, Northwest Volleyball, but also went into the UNK Hall of Fame this weekend, so we'll talk about both of those. So those are our guests that are coming up on this Monday. Did you happen to read, after the whole Deadspin thing came out, Cindy Lang Kubik from the Lincoln Journal Star, she's one of those lifestyle columnists, she'll write on about anything. Kind of the daily feature, the homie feature. But she wrote an article, The Deadspin. That was, her article was like as if she was saying, "Hey, I've got some of this from the old days. I got some of this. I've got some pictures of Bob Devaney and waitresses at the old Legionnaire. Would you be interested in those? Could you publish those?" You know, basically saying that, you know what, this has happened forever, everywhere. What is so special about this bow tape? But and Deadspin actually responded to her. Yeah, we'd love to have all that.
They go, "Yeah, I want to see Bob Devaney again." That's great. Yeah. I think Barry Switzer probably was a little controversial in his day. I'm not positive on that. I'm not positive on that.
What do you think Barry and Bob Devaney got along so well? Probably just drove Tom Osborne up a wall.
They used to couldn't wait to see each other.
You know, I've often wondered who listens to this show from time to time.
On our show?
Yeah.
Do you think we're losing listeners?
No, you think ever T.O. stumbles across here? I hear he's in some fishing spots that are definitely close enough to be listening to our radio show.
Yeah.
And we've had Coach, A.D., Mr. Osborne on, of course. He's always a great interview. I just think you'd like to have him on, but everybody wants to talk to that man. He could do interviews every day for the rest of his life because people would be interested in that.
You know, I think one thing that maybe got overlooked in all this was when Bo Pelini maybe got to the point where people were upset the way they played against UCLA. Then they were upset against his press conference, and then they went with some annex. And then this came out, and then the AD and the president and all these people, well, we got to check into this, and this is we're really upset about this. And all of a sudden, Tom Osborne goes, we've dealt with this. We already knew about it. And then all of a sudden, it goes the other direction. I mean, it's still going. It's on its way up. And then all of a sudden, it goes on its way down. And everybody, been taken care of. Good deal.
One question.
All right.
And I'll bring this up because I anticipate that at some point we will have Tom Osborne on our show again. Because if he's got a teammate deal or if he's in the area, the one question I have been curious to ask him is, what do you think the state of the program would be right now if you would have been elected governor? Because if Tom Osborne had been elected governor, he would not have been available to take over as the AD. Probably wouldn't have Bo Pelini as your football coach. Probably, I'm guessing, we'd be in a worse state right now than what we are.
Well, the one thing that I've always liked about Tom Osborne was when he did let Bill Callahan go, and when he did let Doc Sadler go, and he had to let some people go. When he did that, he said, hey, these people are good people. These people worked hard. I like them for a lot of other reasons. You know, it just didn't work out here for one reason or the other. We just didn't get this back. But, hey, I wish these people well. And he meant it. I mean, this isn't just something that was said publicly and you're going, hey, we got to move on. We went this direction. And these aren't the only people that have lost their job as coaches. There's been plenty of assistant coaches for one reason or the other are not a lot with the programs anymore. But I do like the way that Tom Osborne did handle the hiring and firing of people, and I think a very professional way he did that. So you're exactly right on that. And Tom, you know, I think one reason Nebraska football went on for such a long time and had its success was because of Tom Osborne and what the tradition, the way he did things, and he didn't have quite the success of John Wooden and UCLA basketball program, who just kind of dominated that for a long period of time. But having the same coach in the program, those are the programs that usually win. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Oregon and the switch they made here, because that's kind of been the transition, kind of like when Bob Devaney and Tom Osborne left. It looks like it might make that same transition. And Alabama's made its, had its transition. It had a little low
Ohio State, you got to give Ohio State credit. Even though for different circumstances, you got rid of one good coach in Tressel, and you brought in another good one in Meyer.
That's a great point. Hey, that's another team that has had that, success. You know, you're looking at Miami of Florida. Maybe they're going to come around again in Florida. You know, there's some places. Oklahoma really never missed a beat. Right now, they're maybe the last 2 years they weren't exactly where they wanted to be, but they went and had a lot of success with. When after Barry Switzer, I think Bud Wilkinson was there forever, and then the Barry Switzer, and then they haven't really missed a beat. But there's some other programs that are missing that beat, and they're not very happy right now.
We miss a beat on Friday. I really came in here, I thought we dominated the Pigskin Pick'em, but Jeffrey tells me not the case.
Yeah, the guy was hot.
Not the case. Jason, congratulations. He wins on the tiebreaker over you. I went 6-4. What in the hell did I take Kansas State for? I'd have still lost on the tiebreaker. That was close, too. He only edged you by two. Your misses, you took Utah State to win the game.
Yeah.
And
they were ahead at one time, but yeah.
Michigan State and Rice, those were your losses. My losses, I took Boise State. They should have won. Indiana, wow. West Virginia. And they looked horrible in K-State. So I went 6-4. You and the caller went 7-3, but Jason was 2 points closer on the tiebreaker. So Jason gets the $20 in Cunningham's cash to go along with his Big Daly's deli meal. He's in for the Nebraska-Iowa tickets. And for the year right now, 27-13. Jimmy is running away with it. He's four better than me. And I don't want to hear about it. We'll do it every Friday. You're hot.
No,
I'll pick it up this week.
I'll be honest with you. In this game that you and I play, as soon as you pick somebody, even if I like them, I'll go the other way sometimes. Just
quit
to
it.
Make it kind of fun.
Quit it.
Yeah.
Quit it.
All right.
We'll take a break. Be back with more after this. Mike Babcock from Hail Varsity next.
You know what? Summer's over. And now it's time to get back on track. Complete Nutrition can help you do it all this fall. Now, when you're the busiest, you need experienced advice and the right products to help you reach your fall fitness goals, no matter what they are. Maybe it's weight loss. Complete Nutrition has customized weight loss solutions to help you drop the pounds. Maybe your goal is to increase your energy level. Come in to get a plan designed just for you by experts in nutrition and exercise. Or maybe you want to add mass and strength. The right products can make all the difference. Can you do it all this fall? You can with a little help from your partners at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Golic, you know how you've given me a hard time about my taste for fusion cuisine?
Yes.
Well, you're about to change your tune.
We've already got like a million different countries' foods to choose from. Why do you need to fusion them?
I'm not getting into that now. I just wanted to share with you that I've got a fusion food you can't say no to.
My hand is hovering over the no button.
Fusing bacon into a burger.
Okay, I'm listening.
Johnsonville has taken the flavors you obviously love way too much and used them to create a 1/3-pound gourmet burger. They're Johnsonville Grillers. They come in great flavors like cheddar and bacon and Swiss and mushroom.
Wait, bacon and cheese in a burger? I could do this.
Yeah, so now you agree with me. Fusion cooking is a good idea.
No, Johnsonville Grillers are a good idea. Seaweed lasagna is stupid.
Go to Johnsonville.com to read more about Johnsonville Grillers. Served with pride since 1945.
Monday night, it's an AFC West showdown as Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos take on the Oakland Raiders. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Join Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in Denver for all the action. Will Manning and the Broncos continue their hot start, or will the Raiders pull off the upset? Tune in to find out. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
With partial sun, along with some cloudiness across the area today, we'll see a few scattered showers and storms possible, mainly late. With a high at 73, south winds will stay at 15 to 30 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 70.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Every Monday, it is time for lunch, and I got a great special for you to watch Monday Night Football at the Chicken Coop in Kearney, 2115 Avenue A. If you got that case of the Monday blues, well, then the Chicken Coop wants to make your Monday your fun day. Stop in every Monday night. Catch Monday Night Football or the baseball pennant races, whatever it is you want to watch, and buy the Coop Koozie for only $5. And the rest of the night, you enjoy your favorite 12-ounce beverage for only $1. 7 to close Monday night. You get the $5 koozie. You keep the koozie. 12-ounce cans, only $1 all night long. Of course, you can't watch football without tasty boneless wings. Choose from over a dozen lip-smacking, taste-bud-packing boneless wings. And on Monday night, they're only 40 cents apiece. If you can't wait for tonight to grab a delicious bite to eat, then don't forget their Monday special is the juicy steak sandwich. And your choice of side, it's only $6.99. They're open 7 days a week. Why? Because you're hungry 7 days a week. You're thirsty 7 days a week. And their sports on 7 days a week. For family fun, drinks, and food, head on out to the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney. Mike Babcock, Hale Varsity, joins us here. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Monday. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. That chicken wings place sounds pretty good, but I don't think I could get there if I go to practice, and then I wouldn't be able to make it out there to Kearney.
Well, that's one of the reasons Bo quit having practice on Mondays, so you could all come out to the Coop.
Is that what the? I knew there was some kind of a reason for that, other than just not wanting to provide access for us.
Hey, Mike, for about 10 years, when I'm still officiate, but for about 10 years, I'd really skip the noon meal, and I started doing this radio show, and he starts advertising all these places, and I feel like I have to go to every one of them and get, you know, try each one of their sandwiches or every kind of ice cream that they have. I put on about 30 pounds since I started doing this.
Yeah, that's really tough duty. I can see that you're feeling like that's a real responsibility.
That's exactly right.
Mike Babcock with us. Even though there's no press conference today, we still want to talk Husker football. Michael, what did you – I want to start with the mood around the stadium on Saturday. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought the mood was pretty good. I mean, I think that for one thing, I think Husker fans are pretty reasonable, and I think they – you know, the majority of Husker fans probably understood the context of that audio that sort of, you know, colored the entire week, I guess. And so I think that Nebraska fans in general responded kind of the way I thought. You know, there was a section up there in the southeast corner of the South Stadium that was noticeably empty, and I think that's the student section, so maybe some students had decided they were going to make some sort of a statement by not showing up. But, you know, to me, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the fans. I know what it is to have an opportunity to go to Husker games, and you hate to see that. You hate to see that tarnished, I guess, by all the things that have happened. Because I always leave the stadium every week, and I wonder, you know, there are the few people that probably got to be at the game for the first time, and I remember my first experience way back when Nebraska wasn't very good and you didn't have any great expectations for them. But, you know, and so I think, all by way of answering your question, I think the attitude was pretty upbeat on Saturday. And certainly after the Huskers got the win, I think people were feeling pretty good about things.
Of course, Mike, one of the senior and veteran reporters to cover Nebraska football now with Hail Varsity and HailVarsity.com. Check that out, weekly magazine throughout the Husker football season. Michael, let's face it, we've been around long enough that I'm sure you could sit here and write a whole other book or give us a whole 4 hours for maybe a week, 20 hours worth of stories on the Skyriders tour that would not be permissible to talk about or audio to put out there that had to be in the ballpark of what we heard last week.
Yes, I'd say that's probably right. And, you know, it doesn't excuse this stuff, but it certainly does put it into context. I mean, and people say this, and it almost becomes a cliche, but as with so many cliches, you know, it's based on truth. You know, we all say things that we wish hadn't gotten out there, and I think there's probably more responsibility when you're the head coach of a program like Nebraska and you make the kind of money that you do and so forth. I mean, you're the face of the program, obviously. But, you know, it's just a really difficult thing that you're dealing with. And there's so many different ways to look at that situation. And yeah, you're right. I mean, the Skyriders is a good example of something that you put 40 fairly reasonable individuals on a bus or a plane, and you spend 10 days with those people. Some things that you would rather not get out will occur, and that's a good example of something that you don't want to broadcast exactly what that was. And I don't know if the statute of limitations has run out. You know, the Big 8 Skyriders tour was a long time ago, so maybe so.
Hey, you know, here's a question I have for you is lately, within the last 2 years, there's been two programs that right in the middle of the season decided to fire a coordinator. Texas, you know, with their defensive coordinator, and I believe it was Wisconsin. Was that the offensive line coach that they got rid of? Or I can't even remember who that was, but I mean, they made it publicly. And it seemed to me it was like for the head coach to say, hey, I'm going to do something about this right now. And I was happy that Nebraska has never done that. I think it shows that, hey, you know, you're with our program right now. We're going to finish out 12 games. If we need to make a change, we'll do it at the end of the season. But we're not going to do it just because the public is upset with the way one of the coordinators, the way that the athletes are, you know, competing in that area. Now, something controversial happens where you get arrested or something against the law, that's a whole different deal. But just because of the way the players are playing. What's your feelings on that?
No, I agree with you exactly. And I think it was a Wisconsin offensive line coach. I think you're right about that. You know, here's the thing. The head coach hired those guys to do a job. And the head coach had enough respect for that individual to get that job done. And so I think that there's a responsibility that you stand behind those guys. The context that I would put it in, and I always like to put these things in historical context, I guess, you know, Bob Devaney, when his teams go 6-4 back to back in 1967, there was a cry for him to get rid of assistant coaches, and Bob wouldn't do it, and so there was a petition circulated to get rid of him. I mean, it's not anything new. We're not looking at anything new. This has happened before, and you consider the tremendous success that Bob had had those previous years, but back to back 6-4. And at that time, people were just not happy with it. And so you've got this petition being passed around to get rid of Bob. And he always said, you know, I didn't know anything about the petition. If I'd have known it, I probably would have signed it too. But
that's exactly what he said. Exactly what he said.
Yeah. But you know, he stood behind his assistants. He wouldn't get rid of those assistant coaches. And I think that says a lot about what he was all about as a coach. And really, I think there was some pressure on Osborne to get rid of some assistant coaches, you know, in the late 70s when he made the trip out to Colorado to look into the Colorado job after Bill Mallory was dismissed there at Colorado, and Tom Pitt came pretty close to taking that position. But here's the thing, before he even looked at that thing, he met with his staff and said, hey, here's an opportunity. Should we look into it? I mean, it was kind of a staff thing. And that's the kind of responsibility that I think head coaches have to the people they put on their staff. So I'm with you on that. You know, I think that Bo Pelini gets all this pressure to replace assistant coaches. I think that he has to stand behind him because he's the one that brought him in. The other example I guess I'd use, it's kind of ironic, but, you know, Bill Callahan took a lot of flack because he wouldn't get rid of Kevin Cosgrove. And I thought that was a very positive thing for in the relationship that Bill Callahan had to as an assistant coach. Although, you know, at some point it looked like, well, maybe a change needed to be made there defensively. And maybe that his unwillingness to make that change, and again, not in the season, you're not expecting that to happen, but to some extent, you wonder if, well, maybe if he had made a change, would things have gone a little bit, would he have bought himself another season or, you know, whatever. But it's a difficult thing. Head coaches have to make that decision. And I'm glad that Bo Pelini didn't jump the gun there and make that sort of a rash decision.
Yeah, he might have thought about doing it more in the first quarter of the South Dakota State game after those first two drives. I bet he was thinking, hey, you know what?
John Papuchas is not returning to the sideline.
You're not going
to
return. Yeah, you stop him this time or you're gone. Yeah,
Doug,
right.
Because
there's that overreaction.
Here's the other thing. You know, here's the other thing, guys. Consider that, you know, these guys have not – John Papuchas is new as a defensive coordinator. I mean, he's very inexperienced there. I think you have to give people an opportunity. You have to give people time to mature into those positions. Just as you find that Bo Pelini is a different coach now than he was 6 years ago. You know, he's still a first year. This is still his first head coaching job, and I think there's a maturation process that goes there with head coaches, assistant coaches, or whatever. You got to give these people an opportunity. You got to give them some time. And so, you know, I think it's unfair to just pile on all this anger on John Papuchas or, you know, assistant coaches, because you've got to give them the opportunity to work their way into that position, I think.
Talking with Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Let's talk a little bit of the current Husker team before we let you go, Mike. I was surprised, and I mean, I heard a little bit of it, and I think kind of it in joking over the weekend, but I'm a little bit surprised that the Tommy Armstrong, Ron Kellogg folks haven't been firing into the show this morning about "See, I Told You So." I guess I'm happy with that, and Taylor is still hands down the number one quarterback, but you got to be pleased with the way those guys played Saturday.
Yeah, no, I think you have to be happy about that and feel good that, you know, they came in, they managed the offense, they didn't try to do too much. And I think that it's something that, you know, the fans have looked at, I think, through the course of the last couple seasons is, you know, what's going to happen if Taylor Martinez gets hurt? You know, then what's Nebraska going to do? And so I think this was a good opportunity. In some ways, it was fortunate that, you know, maybe Taylor wasn't able to go just from the standpoint of let's see what these guys can do, the backup guys. And as you said, yeah. I had a couple of people tell me, well, you know, I wonder how this is going to go now that we've seen this. You know, is who's going to start the next game? Who's going to start the next game is going to be determined on whether Taylor Martinez is healthy or not. That's, you know, that's the bottom line there is Taylor has to be healthy. That's what they want. And if he's healthy, he's the guy.
You know, Mike, good point because and Doug and you both have covered a lot of games in your career. And usually when the number one quarterback goes down, it usually doesn't go well. I mean, you look at Ohio State when they had Nebraska down, I believe, 28-6, and their quarterback goes down, and everybody goes, what a great comeback by the Huskers. Well, a lot of it didn't contribute to what we did as much as what they could not do anymore.
Yeah, no, and that's important, and I think that's one of the things that, I'm trying to think back, you know, the Behringer-Fraser deal. I think there were instances when Tommy was healthy, where they'd go into the second quarter and Brooke Behringer would go in. I mean, they'd put him in there because they wanted to be in a position where if something happened to Tommy, and as it happened, you know, as it turns out, blood clots, and they had to go to Brooke Behringer. He had some experience and opportunity, and I think that's always good. I think, remember, Missouri did this a couple years ago, and I can't remember which the quarterback was, but they put the guy in the second quarter when the game was in doubt, and everybody, all the Husker fans were like, why would you put in the backup quarterback at that point? But you want to get those guys experience under real conditions, and I think it's a real condition. It's probably not so real when the game is in the fourth quarter and you're up by three or four touchdowns or whatever. Get those guys in there early. This was an opportunity to get Kellogg and Armstrong on the field when it really mattered. And you didn't have the choice of putting Taylor Martinez in the game because he was on the sideline at sweats.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. You know, a lot of times a coach doesn't have one good quarterback. So, you know, all of a sudden he's in there and he's switching them back and forth trying to find one that might get hot. But I remember the Jerry Taggy Van Bronson thing was in. I'm sure you remember that too, Al, how that was a situation where finally Taggy took over because we just kept winning. But it easily could have been Van Bronson that was running that show.
Yeah, you know, there were a little bit different kinds of quarterbacks, and I think in some ways, you know, early on they felt like Brownson was maybe a little bit more athletic guy, but yeah, you're right. It is exactly right that those guys competed, and Nebraska had a guy that's like, oh, hey, you know, he could be in there and he could do just as good of a job. And he had some experience as a sophomore and to a lesser degree as a junior, so that you felt good about it because he was in the situations where it really mattered. That's a national championship tandem right there.
Once we start bringing up Van Bronson, I know I've lost all control of what's going on during this discussion here. So let me put it to you kind of this way, Michael, because we can sit here and ask you about the defense. But four games in, Nebraska's 3-1. You've seen what they've done. You've seen what the rest of the Big Ten Conference is. Give me your updated assessment of how Nebraska fits into the Big Ten mold. Is it any different than what you would have said in our Husker roundtable before the season started?
You know, not so much, Doug. I think that the opportunity is there. I think it's going to be an interesting – every week's going to be interesting. I don't think you can just look at it and say, well, here's X, Y, and Z. These are wins here, you know, and you look at that trip to Michigan is an important thing, more so than maybe some of the other games. I think every week's going to be a question mark, and I think that makes for an exciting season, a Big Ten season for where Nebraska is, because I think Nebraska has the opportunity – still to be as successful as we thought they would, as the Huskers would be at the beginning of the season, but it's not going to be, every week's going to be a new adventure, and I think that's, from a spectator standpoint, that's exciting, although if it's either or and you don't win some of those games, then it's not going to be very exciting for Husker fans. So, but I think the opportunity is still there. But there are no guarantees, is the way I would say it.
I see emails are rolling in that want me to make my prediction now, see if it's any different than what it was. So I guess we'll get to that in our next break. And, of course, we have those that want to know how your Detroit Red Wings are going to do this year, Mike Babcock. How often do you get that? Mike Babcock, also the head coach of the Red Wings.
Every once in a while I get a new follower on Twitter, and I'm convinced they think I'm the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings. So, you know, we need to be aggressive and I think we'll be just fine. We've got to have that attitude.
But Mike, that's good. Hey, you know, another assessment, this is my own, is Illinois and Minnesota are maybe better than people thought they were going to be. Purdue's not going to be an automatic win on the road. So like you said,
they better be.
Yeah, there are. Notre Dame struggled a little bit with those people. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying is all of those games, every one of them now, the ones we thought maybe we'd get beat, maybe those people aren't playing as well. But the people that we thought we'd win, maybe they're playing a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it's the opportunity there. And if you're setting up a season for interest, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of interest, because I don't think any week is going to be just, Nebraska will go out there and that's it. Nebraska will win that game, or the Huskers are not going to win that game. I think every game from here on in the Big Ten, I think Nebraska has an opportunity to win that game, but by the same token, could lose it as well. I mean, that's not a cliche. I really think that's what we've seen so far, is that these teams, on a given week, Illinois can play pretty well. Purdue, first road game, you never know what's going to happen when you go on the road for the first time. Minnesota, you go on the road there, you never know. I think it's going to be an interesting thing, and I think Nebraska has an opportunity to be successful.
Mike, we'll let you out of here with this. What's the cover of Hail Varsity? What can we see this week?
This week we got a picture of Tommy Armstrong on the cover, and we got a great feature on Charlie Green. I'll remember you. Remember Charlie Green, track and field. When Charlie Green ran at Nebraska, track and field was a big deal. That guy was a tremendous sprinter, and he wore sunglasses when he sprinted. He called them his heat shields.
Awesome. Folks, check out Hail Varsity, hailvarsity.com, and Mike Babcock with us. Thanks for the chat this morning, Mike. Have a great week.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime.
Take care. Mike Babcock with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Double D, even though it's way too early, what's your take on Schlabaugh and Edwards predicting a Nebraska-Texas Tech Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl and a Michigan-LSU Capital One Bowl? These predictions don't sound good to me. Thanks, Brent. I will have to look at those during the break, Brent, and give you my assessment. Delusional Husker fan has also weighed in with the quarterback controversy as he was listening to Big Red reaction after the game on Saturday. All that and more. Plus, we're going to talk with Diana Rose, went into the UNK Hall of Fame, and her undefeated Northwest volleyball team continues to roll. That's coming up next.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
A man in his truck. A man in his truck and his teenage daughter who had a rough day at school. And the ride home. And boys and grades and teachers and tryouts. And fitting in and sticking out. And the 25 minutes between school and the driveway that lifted the weight of the world. The all-new Chevy Silverado. No quieter full-size pickup on the road. No more perfect place to lend an ear. Silverado. Strong for all.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers
and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With partial sun, allow some cloudiness across the area today. We'll see a few scattered showers and storms possible, mainly late. With a high at 73, south winds will stay at 15 to 30 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Nice little rain shower here over the last hour. Maybe everybody caught part of that, but if you're not as lucky, you want your field to be watered down constantly, and that can only be done with the help of a T&L pivot system. No spoking, they continually go through your field, no 30 seconds on, no 30 seconds off. It is what T&L hydraulic technology can do for you. Maximize your production with the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of any summer heat wave. Call Josh Nienheiser or Mike Partridge in Hastings today, and they can help you out with your T&L proven hydraulic technology. Maybe it's new to you. They're going to show you everything you want to know and why it's better. It works. It's easier on you for a lifetime. And, of course, the bottom line gets more money in your pocket when it's harvest time. Well, let's talk a little volleyball here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan on this Monday, and we're pleased to welcome in the head coach of the defending state champions at Grand Island Northwest, where they are still undefeated this year and coming off her Hall of Fame induction ceremony this weekend at UNK. Diane Rose is with us. Diane, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, and thank you very much.
Well, let's start with the weekend. That had to be kind of fun. There were some really good people, and I guess I would say I knew most of the people, so that's why I know they're all really good people, including yourself, going into the hall. Tell us what the weekend was like.
It was really fun for me and awesome just to go back and think about all the times that I spent in Kearney and at UNK, and I kind of laughed about, like, who goes to college in the same town that they go to high school? And I just felt really good about the town of Kearney, and I wanted to stay. And then I drove to Grand Island for, I think, 8 or 9 years before we actually moved here. So it was a very nice weekend. The parade is awesome. I was just amazed by what everybody did in Kearney. And the banquet, the football game, all of it was just really, really nice. Made an old lady feel good.
Hey. Now, Diane, what year did you start coaching volleyball at Northwest?
1984-85 was my first year, and I was a freshman coach for 2 years and an assistant coach for 2 years, and then I've been a head coach for 26.
Good enough. Well, I coached against Grand Island Northwest volleyball when I was at Vanna.
Oh, God. It,
the game did not take very long. I knew immediately I needed to get out of this sport and do something else.
I'm sorry, Doug. I'm sorry.
The world, Jimmy, thanks you for getting out of volleyball.
Yes.
and doing what you did do. Diane, let's talk a little bit about your volleyball team. We're going to get a chance to see you play Aurora tomorrow night, and we'll have that game on Classic Hits 98.9, 7:30 approximate. They're one of only two teams that has taken a set from you, and they're pretty darn good.
They are really good, and, you know, Class B this year is just packed with really good teams, and it's going to be a battle, no doubt about that, and they're very well coached. They've got some great athletes. They've got experience. It's a rivalry. It's going to be quite the night for volleyball.
What is it, and they've got, obviously, the Teal Girl is outstanding, if I said that right, and I don't even think I did. They've got an outstanding all-stater. What do you do, if anything, different against them tomorrow?
You did say her name right. She's a really good athlete. She's been a good athlete for a lot of years. We're kind of like, when will she graduate? And when they start as a freshman and play a lot, it's difficult. You can only try to corral her. I don't think you could ever stop her. And the thing about Aurora is they've got some other really good kids, too. And that sometimes don't get the limelight, but just like on our team, there's a lot of kids that contribute in many ways, but they may not get their name in the paper, but Taylor's a really good athlete. We try to set away from her. We try to make her dig. We try to do some things so that they can't run a faster offense and things like that because she's tough to stop. She's very good.
Tell us about your team. Diane Rosé is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. How different would you say your team is this year compared to the one you had on the court for the state championship last year?
Well, I would say there's probably a world of difference in a lot of ways is because they all know each other's name and have played together for a little while because last year in May, we didn't even know who was going to be here. And we spent a lot of time in the summer and in the fall just trying to develop some team chemistry. And we have that this year. And they know each other. And some of those kids are different kids. And they're a little more confident, a little more comfortable. And senior class is a great leader. And I'm going to tell you, Doug, that this team is just amazing. I love going to practice. It is not me at all. It's my staff and the kids. And somebody told me once that if you don't have the animals, you ain't got a zoo. And I think I got a zoo. I got some really, really good athletes, and they get along, and they just do so many things right as a team. And it's just fun. It's a challenge for me to try to challenge the kids, even just to keep making them better. And am I doing the right things? And when you have such good kids, you want to make sure you're running the right drills and doing the right things and saying the right things. So we hope we're doing that.
Well, things obviously have been clicking along so well here for quite some time, and being in the state finals for six consecutive years and getting over the hump last year. Will we not know as far as drive goes, as far as hunger, until this postseason, or can you tell that there was no difference from being state runner-up to state champion from these girls for this team?
You know, I have a hard time with that because so many people talk about that. And those kids, every one of those kids on every one of those teams wanted to win state just as bad as the ones last year. And a lot of it has to do with who you play and how it sets up for you at state. And I'll tell you, Lincoln Pius and Omaha Gross were just stacked with Division I athletes for many years in a row. And we just ran up against something that was difficult, and I had some awesome teams, and we had a couple years where we probably could have or should have won, but it's a tough thing to do, and you graduate really good kids, and for us to get back there, I'm really proud of those kids, and you know, things just worked out really good for us, and it's not like we waltzed through the state tournament. It was tough, and it was a really tough match, and Gretna gave us everything we wanted, so a lot of it has to do with how it plays out with other teams, too, and somebody beating somebody works out for you. So we just feel really lucky that we're able to get it done.
Hey, Diane, that's a great point as a coach. There were lots of teams that I coached, too, that had really good teams. But we just happened to run into a buzzsaw district before they had the wild card and couldn't participate down there. And Grand Isle Northwest basketball team gets beaten districts, you know. But guess what? They get to go get the wild card. This wild card's been good, at least getting the right teams down to the state tournament. You're right. Every team I had wanted to win just as bad as somebody else. But all of a sudden, a ball that goes into the net or a ball that hits the line kind of decides the outcome sometimes. So you're right. It's very close a lot of times.
I think that that's just hard, and it's probably harder on me because I think the kids changed, but we got runner-up again, and the kids changed, we got runner-up again. It got to be a joke for some people, and it was really hard on me because I felt like I should have done something different, or what am I doing wrong, and we got them to that point, and it just, the competition in Class B is so high, and it can be point or, you know, just like a ball that's hit out of bounds or a ball that was touched, or the momentum in the game of volleyball is just crazy. And it can make coaches crazy. So, we know. We feel like we're very lucky that we, you know, got some things to go our way, and it was a very good team. Wild card is awesome. I know I won state as a senior in high school. It was because of a wild card. So I don't know. I think we're trying something different this year, and I hope that it gets the right teams to state, but I think there's always some good teams left at home.
All right, Diane, we'll wrap it up with this here. There's still plenty of great teams on your schedule, starting with Aurora tomorrow, but you stay busy the next two weekends. You host your tournament on Saturday, and then you make your annual trip out to Scotts Bluff for the Twin Cities tournament, which always sees some different teams. Start with your tournament. Who are the teams we're going to see over the next two weekends?
We are going to be playing York and Columbus SCOTUS and hopefully Omaha Scut if we make it through to that point. So that's a real easy tournament, I guess. No, not at all. I'm really nervous about that. But also in the tournament is Hastings and Lexington. And, you know, that's something that we feel like we have a really good tournament. Aurora this week, obviously on Tuesday. It's going to be a hard week for us. We better be ready to play, and we play some excellent competition. And then next week we go out to Scott's Bluff, and you always see a little different kinds of volleyball, and those teams out west make you challenge in a different way and see some things and some Wyoming teams, things like that. So we better be ready to go.
All right, Diane, we appreciate you cutting your lunch hour short so that you could join us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. We look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow night.
Thank you so much. It's my honor.
Take care. Diane Rosé, the newest, one of the newest members of the UNK Hall of Fame, and just a legendary high school volleyball coach, and will be in that Hall of Fame too, I'm sure, when her career wraps up. 12-0. Also want to mention something, and we'll get Coach on, but Hastings is off to a 6-0 start, and Hastings volleyball has been struggling lately, and congratulations. I don't care who you're playing or how you're doing it. They are 6-0 with a lot of their season left to go, and they will be taking on McCook and Crete in two more winnable games at home tomorrow before heading over to that Northwest Invitational. But that ought to be great. I mean, see the number one team in C1 and maybe one of the top teams in B and Scut. So they schedule strong. They schedule strong.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Volleyball is early in, you know, September, some teams have only played 5 games and other people have played 13, 14 games. You know, it's just interesting how the schedule is and how it sets up. And some of these people have their tournaments later on in the year, and some of them get them early in the year.
Got some emails to get to. More Husker talk as we'll wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Stay with us.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Membership streamlines business expenses.
At WiggleWorks, we help build animatronics for theme parks around the country. When we're on the road, we rack up a ton of expenses, but we're never weighed down with receipts.
Introducing Receipt Match on business cards from American Express Open. Just shoot your receipts with your smartphone, and they're matched up with your charges on your online statement.
I'm John Kaplan, and I'm a member of A Synchronized World.
This is what membership is. This is what membership does. Learn more at open.com. Terms and limitations apply.
Footlong Nation, rejoice! Right now at Subway, any regular footlong is a $5 footlong, all September long. All your favorites, like the sweet onion chicken teriyaki, the Subway Club, and even the Italian BMT are just $5 each. With tons of $5 footlongs to choose from, we need an entire month to celebrate. So hurry in to get yours.
Subway. Prices and participation may vary. Plus tax will applicable. Exclude Supreme Subs. Additional charge for extras. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Who got the better end of the Colts-Browns trade? That was our question over the weekend. 75% said the Colts getting Trent Richardson. 25% said the Browns getting a first-round draft pick. Which American League wildcard team who's not currently in has the best chance of winning it? I thought the Royals were only 2.5 out, and they won. Where'd you see this? They're 2.5 out,
no,
aren't they?
Nope, they're
3.5?
Yeah. They won. See, what happened was they it's a bad deal, but Cleveland went 4-0.
I should never question Jeff. I know he's always
right. Cleveland went
it's 4-0. Hard to believe, though.
Cleveland went 4-0, and the Royals went 2-1. It's since Monday through, you know, that last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Cleveland went 4-0.
Texas is 1.5 back. The Royals are 3.5. The Orioles are 4, and the Yankees are 4.5 back. Which team has the best chance? Oh, the Rangers. They're only 1.5 back. I said at the beginning of the show when we talked about it just briefly there, the Royals, I mean, they have to win out, basically. They have to win out. There's only 7 games left. They play every day. They got to win out. They got to go 7-0 to even have a chance.
Yeah, and they may not make it anyway because the Cleveland Indians, anybody that was watching it and listened to our show knew that somebody said the Cleveland Indians had the weakest schedule by far, and it's really shown up right now because these other people are beating up on each. Baltimore got beaten 18 innings.
Well, the Royals needed to sweep the Indians, and they played them tough. They just didn't.
Yeah, they went 4-2. They went 4-2, and they win 4 and lose 2, and they're losing ground, you know. So, yeah.
Folks, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth is where Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac come to rest, and they want to let you know that this Sunday they will be open from noon to 5. They only do that a couple of times a year. It's an off-Husker weekend. The Lopers are out of town, so a chance probably for more folks to be around, and they want you to be around, maybe give you a chance to slip it on a Sunday from noon to 5. Everyone should take advantage of this Sunday, open noon to 5, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Go online to thinkmidway.com and check out the inventory, or stop by the lot. They've got new Ram trucks up to $9,100 off. How about a Silverado up to $8,600 off? The 2014 Impalas are currently in stock. They're hard to keep on the lot. Currently 11 to choose from, so don't let that pass you by. And a few on hand of the Buick Encores. Get them while they're here at Midway. Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Delusional Husker fan from Grand Island says, I happened to be on a moose hunt in Canada during the UCLA game, but still managed to watch most of the game. Ugly. Then on my way home this past Saturday, I found the AM station out of South Dakota and listened to the game until I got within range of Nebraska's AM channel so I could listen to my favorite show, Big Red Reaction. You want to talk about delusional fans? Dang, these people sure are funny. It's just too predictable. Tommy and Ron are the best quarterbacks on the face of the earth. Tommy is better than Taylor. Bring on the Dallas Cowboys. Come on, people, says Delusional. It was South Dakota State, a nice team, but not near the talent of Nebraska, so we should score 59 points. But giving up over 460 yards, that's disturbing to say the least. Our offense can only do so much this year, and without major improvement to the defense, we're losing at least 3, maybe 4 more games this season. No way we beat Northwestern, Michigan, or Penn State, plus one more of these games we shouldn't probably lose, but will. I think with the youth we have on D, we're still a couple years away from being an 11-plus win team. Delusional Husker fan. That's the scary thing. That's the scary thing, Jimmy. That could happen.
It could have happened last year. It could have happened easily last year. You look back at the fourth quarter comebacks we had. Could have we lost to Northwestern? Yes or no. Could have we lost to Michigan State? Yes or no. I mean, those two in particular were games that you normally, you know, you don't win. And, you know, we played well at home against Michigan, and we came back in the second half and beat a good Penn State team. At Iowa, I mean, last time I remember the Iowa game, I think we were down at halftime.
Let's take a look at Brent said in, what do you think of the bowl predictions from ESPN every week? Mark Schlabaugh, Brad Edwards make their prediction. I don't know. How far down the list is the Buffalo Wild Wing Bowl? It's a ways down the list. The Rose Bowl, they've got Ohio State playing Stanford. The Capital One Bowl, which would basically be next. They've got Michigan playing LSU. The Outback Bowl, they're split with Wisconsin or Northwestern going. Northwestern going to the, I think it's better than the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. Maybe not. They've got it below that, Northwestern and Michigan State. It's above the Heart of Dallas Bowl, where they've got either Iowa or Minnesota going. The other one is the Texas Bowl. So what do they've got Nebraska right now, I'd say, fifth in the pecking order. That is disturbing. I think it'll be a little bit better than that. But don't go crazy if it's fourth or third. Looks like it's fifth in the pecking order. And wow.
Let's play Texas in a bowl game. You want
no. Any? God, no. No.
All right.
They've got Texas going to the Alamo Bowl as the winners of the Big 12 and playing or the second in the Big 12 and playing UCLA.
They haven't seen Oklahoma State or Oklahoma play yet? Is that whoever did that, or what's going on here?
I don't know. Don't know. But let's get on out of here. Volleyball, Nebraska lost to Texas yesterday. UNK won both their matches. Hastings College had their first conference loss in 2 seasons. And we're going to be talking with Coach Matt Buttermore later on this week on the Doug and Daddy Show. We also anticipate talking with Husker coach John Cook. Tomorrow we'll talk about the Lopers and the Hastings College football games. UNK lost, but wow, great effort. Unfortunately, that's where we're at right now with a couple of these MIAA teams, and probably a big shocker the way Hastings got rolled up by Dome. Tony Harper and Daryl Moore scheduled to join us tomorrow. Wednesday, no Husker lunch because it is a bye week, but we'll still have Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, our Loper Link, and a whole lot more. And if you're a women's golf fan, the Solheim Cup, which was in Colorado here last month, it's going to be in Iowa. The Des Moines Golf and Country Club has received the 2017 bid. Monday Night Football, Denver favored by 15 over Oakland. Who you got, Jimmy Langan?
If you're going to take it, you got to take the points, but you don't have to bet them all.
Storm Hockey opens this week as well. We'll talk with the head coach, Josh Howgie, later in the week as well. On the Doug and Daddy Show, we want to thank Diane Rose, Grand Island Northwest, and Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity for joining us today. Jimmy, see you Friday, man.
Take care.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.